Hotep, hey, this is Michael M. Hotep, host of the African History Network show, founder of the African History Network. I'm a talk show host, researcher, lecturer, writing historian. So we have breaking news. You know, I've been covering on my radio show, we've been covering the impeachment trial of one Donald Trump. So the U.S. Senate today acquitted Trump on both articles of impeachment, because Republicans in the Senate were too cowardly to do their job and hold this president accountable. This is why they and he must be voted out of office November 3rd, 2020, the Republican senators who are up for re-election. So we'll talk about some of this, give you some of the latest information. Okay, you know, if you listen to my Sunday night show, if you have been following my Facebook posts, we've been keeping you up to date on what's going on here. And if you saw Trump's State of the Union address on Tuesday, February 4th, you know he's getting worse and worse by day, because that State of the Union address was full of lies. And I posted information here dealing with the fact checking. So this is what we'll do. We'll go over some of the latest information. Everybody share this broadcast on your Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in also. All right, let's jump into this. Let's look at, I'm going to give you some different sources here. And one of the most troubling things is that some of the Republicans who, well, there's only one Republican who voted to impeach Trump. That was Senator Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney voted to impeach Trump on Article 1, which was abuse of power, but not on Article 2, which was obstruction of Congress. So you have Republican senators like Susan Collins of Maine, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, who's retiring, who say that what Trump did was wrong, but they think he learned his lesson. They think he won't do it again. It's like the only thing he's learned is that you are too cowardly to hold him accountable. And Senator Mitt Romney is already catching hell for the decision he made to do the right thing, to honor his oath, to be an impartial witness. And when he read on the Senate floor why he was voting to impeach Trump on Article 1, he cited his faith. He's a Mormon. He cited his faith, and he took seriously the oath that he took at the beginning of the impeachment trial to be an impartial witness. And everybody knows Trump is guilty. Everybody knows if President Barack Obama did one-tenth of what Trump did, Obama would have been removed from office. Everybody knows this. And every Republican in the Senate knows this as well. So, well, I'll share a few articles with you here. Hopefully we won't be here too long. Everybody share this broadcast on your Facebook page. And let's see, let me post the topic here. Let me post the information here for the topic as well. How's everybody doing? Now, we all knew that Trump was not going to be removed from office. I thought some of the Republicans would have the courage that some of the Republican senators had in the Watergate hearing, during the Watergate hearings, to do the right thing. But Trump is too much of a bully, and they are too much of a coward. They're too cowardly. And Fox News and Twitter didn't exist in 1974 when you had the Watergate hearings either. Okay, so this is why these cowards have to be voted out of office. And then also, we really need to look at boycotting the advertisers of Fox News as well. Because if you understand the history of the Fox News network, Fox News was created by Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes was a campaign advisor to Richard Nixon, and he was a friend of Richard Nixon. Roger Ailes created the Fox News network because he felt that if there had been a network like that during the Watergate hearings, that took the side of the president who was guilty and protected the president, a Republican president, not a Democratic president, a Republican president, he felt that Richard Nixon would not have been forced to resign from office. Okay, August 9th, 1974, Nixon resigns from office. He felt if Nixon had a news network that was a propaganda tool and that protected the president, that he felt that Nixon would not have to resign from office. And this is what the Fox News Network is. Now, Roger Ailes died a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years, and there is a God. But we see the role that Fox News played in this, okay? All right, so let's continue here. Let's look at this first article here from NBCNews.com. Senator quits Trump on both impeachment charges. Mitt Romney of Utah was the lone Republican to cross party lines to convict Trump on abuse of power. Abuse of power. So the U.S. Senate on Wednesday, February 5th, 2020, acquitted Donald Trump. I don't call him president. He's the first Russian president of the United States. Let's get this very clear. He is the first Russian president of the United States. I do agree with that. That is true. Almost entirely along party lines, on charges of abusing his power and obstructing Congress, bringing an end to the third presidential impeachment trial in United States history. Now, this was the first impeachment trial of a president where a senator of the same party as the president voted to impeach the president. So Senator Mitt Romney, who I disagree with on a lot of his policies, and he votes along with Trump on about 80% of Trump's policies, he did do the right thing. That he did the moral thing, and he did the courageous thing to stand up to a bully like Trump. So one of the first two articles of impeachment, Senator Mitt Romney of Utah was the lone Republican to vote to convict Trump, along with all Democrats and independents. The two independents, Senator Angus King of Maine and Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. On the second article of impeachment, obstruction of Congress, Donald Trump was acquitted in a pure party line vote with all Republicans, 53 Republicans, voting not guilty, and all Democrats and independents voting guilty. The final tallies were 52-48 to acquit on Article 1. 52-48 to acquit on Article 1. And 53-47 to acquit on Article 2. You see that Bernie Sanders is still classified as an independent, right? This ain't an attack on Bernie Sanders, but damn it, look. Bernie Sanders has been an independent for damn near 30 years. He only becomes a Democrat when he wants to run for president. I'm not attacking Bernie. I'm just stating facts. Go to Senate.gov. Go to Senate.gov and look at Bernie Sanders' Senate page. All 100 senators have a Senate page, have their own page at Senate.gov. Senate.gov is the official website of the U.S. Senate. Look at his. It says independent of Vermont. Now, if Bernie wins the nomination, would I vote for Bernie over to get Donald Trump's ass out of office? Absolutely. I'll vote for Daffy Duck to get Donald Trump out of office. If Daffy Duck can get 70 million electoral college votes and 70 million popular votes and 270 electoral college votes, I will vote for Daffy Duck. Okay, but what I'm saying is like, you know, I mean, game recognizes game here now. That's why they still talk about him being independent. He said, okay. And Mike Bloomberg was a Republican. And Donald Trump used to be a Democrat. All right. But if Mike Bloomberg gets the nomination, and we got to vote for Bloomberg to get Trump's ass out of office, vote for Bloomberg and then hold him accountable. Okay? But this fool right here, see, Trump is even more dangerous now because he knows how cowardly the Republican senators are. And he knows they will not hold him accountable. So the question we have to ask is Susan Collins, Senator Lamar Alexander, Senator Rob Portman out of Ohio, Senator Marco Rubio out of Florida. You say what Trump did was wrong. You think he learned his lesson. What are you going to do when he does it again? Because he will do it again. When he made the call to Volodymyr Zelensky, the new president of Ukraine, July 25th, 2019, that was the day after Robert Mueller testified in Congress about the Mueller report. Trump thought he got away with getting help from Russia to win the presidency. So he's trying to reach out to a foreign power to interfere in the 2020 election. because a foreign power interfered in the 2016 election. He thought he got away with that, so he did it again. So now you've acquitted him in the Senate. You showed how cowardly you are. So what are you going to do now, Susan Collins, Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Marco Rubio of Florida? What are you going to do now when Trump does it again? So a supermajority of 67 votes on each article of impeachment was needed to convict. This is why elections have consequences. This is why the U.S. Senate is so important. And when you study the history of the U.S. Senate, I talked about this on my Sunday night show. When you study the history of the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Senate was thought of to be so important by the framers of the Constitution that citizens did not vote for U.S. senators for the first 125 years. It wasn't until 1914 that senators started voting for U.S. senators. I mean, that people started voting for U.S. senators. Prior to that, it was members of the state legislature who appointed U.S. senators. They appointed them to a six-year term. And one of the reasons why was because the U.S. senators had to be in judgment, be witnesses in a impeachment trial and vote to impeach a president. The framers of the Constitution in 1787 didn't want U.S. senators to be subjected to having to run for re-election and fear retribution from people who were from citizens who were voting for them. They didn't want them to feel that political pressure. It's similar to U.S. Supreme Court judges. U.S. Supreme Court judges are not elected; they are nominated by a president. And then they are confirmed by U.S. Senate. They don't have to run for re-election. Therefore, the hard decisions, the hard votes that they have to take on the U.S. Supreme Court on cases, they don't have to fear not being re-elected if they based upon a decision. Okay. So when you go to Senate.gov, they have the history of the U.S. Senate there as well. And I talked about this on my Sunday night show. It wasn't until 1914, and what happened was around the 1850s, there's a lot of corruption that took place between the state legislatures and appointing U.S. senators, things like this. And in 1914, that was the first year that people started voting for U.S. senators, but they may have to change that back and put some safeguards in there because they didn't have Twitter in 1787, okay? And the other thing was when you study the framing of the Constitution, the biggest fear that the framers had, Alexander Hamilton, things like this, John Jay, the biggest fear, James Madison, that the framers had was a president who was controlled by a foreign power, especially a foreign adversary, a president controlled by a foreign adversary. But they never thought that the Senate would be complicit in a president controlled by a foreign adversary, because the Senate was originally appointed by members of the state legislature and not elected by the people. So that was what they thought was a safeguard with the Senate, but the Senate has changed. The way the senators are elected has changed. If you go to senate.gov/history, and they have the section there, origins and development, and then it breaks it down. Senate committees is one heading. The next heading, the Senate and the United States Constitution. The third heading, constitutional qualifications for senator. You have to be at least 30 years of age. You have to have U.S. citizenship for at least 9 years, and residency in the state a senator represents at time of election. The next heading, direct election of senators. Voters have elected their senators in the privacy of the voting booth since 1914. Prior to that time, state legislatures chose their senators. Beginning in the 1850s, this process began to break down as political infighting and corruption often left Senate seats vacant for long periods of time. Reform efforts finally succeeded in 1913 with the adoption of the 17th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that provided for direct popular election of senators. So it wasn't until 1914 that people started voting for senators. I'm going to post this link here. This is why elections have consequences, and this is why we have to understand history. Okay, and history and law intersect. I do a whole lecture called Six Principles of Political Self-Defense, Understanding How Laws and Policies Impact the Economic Conditions of African Americans. All right, how's everybody doing? Share this broadcast on your Facebook page and on YouTube. Invite your friends to tune in also. If you like this type of information, you can also donate to the African History Network through Cash App, $THN Show through Cash App or PayPal. PayPal.me/the AHN Show. So that helps us keep doing the research, stay on the air, pay the bills, finance our Sunday night show also. All right. And then African American business owners, email us at customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We'll let you know how you can advertise with the African History Network. All right. How you doing, Kim and Vi Minds? Just a few of the people watching. Christopher, Vi, Tawana, Elliot. This is an example. November 3rd, 2020, there has to be a record number of African Americans voting. I'm serious. I said this in 2016 leading up to the election. People thought I was playing. People thought I was crazy. I told you in 2016 leading up to the election for months, I told you that we had to stop Trump, and I told you he was mentally unstable. I told you he was not mentally fit. He didn't have the temperament to be president. People thought I was playing games and thought it wasn't going to be that bad. Okay, I tried to tell you. So let's continue. So Donald Trump responded to the verdict on Twitter with a parody video showing him being reelected in perpetuity, ending with the message, Trump forever. All right. Now, personally, I think Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon.com, and he owns the Washington Post, I think Jeff Bezos should buy Twitter and shut down Donald Trump's Twitter account for violations. But, you know, that's wishful thinking. So Trump's campaign manager, Brad Parscale, said in a statement immediately after the vote that the president, that Donald Trump, quote, has been totally vindicated, and it's now time to get back to the business of the American people. He said the do-nothing Democrats know they can't beat him, so they had to impeach him, end quote. Well, no, the Democrats were doing their job based upon the Constitution to defend the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic. They were doing their job based upon their Article I powers of the U.S. Constitution as oversight to the executive branch of government, number one. Number two, the quote-unquote do-nothing Democrats that he talks about have passed 433 bills in the U.S. House of Representatives in 2019. 80% of those bills either die or are stuck in the U.S. Senate, and they're being blocked by Republicans in the Senate and Senator Moscow Mitch McConnell. So if you want to talk about somebody who's do nothing, you should talk about the Republicans. Okay? And read the article from, let's see, which one is this? I think this is Vox.com. Yeah, the one from Vox.com. This is from November 29, 2019. House Democrats have passed nearly 400 bills. Trump and Republicans are ignoring them. Okay, it was actually 433 bills in 2019. The reason why Trump says do nothing Democrats is because he knows they're passing bills like lowering the cost of drugs. He knows that in July of 2019, Democrats in the House of Representatives passed a bill to raise the federal minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour over 5 years, from 2020 to 2025. They passed the bill, the Paycheck Fairness Act, okay, which will have a big impact. Those two bills right there, raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour and the Paycheck Fairness Act, will drastically help African-American families, especially African-American women, who make 61 cents for every dollar that white males make. Okay? That's what Black Women's Equal Pay Day is all about, which was in August. I think it was August 7th of 2019. It takes the average African-American woman 20 months to make the same amount of money it takes the average male 12 months to make. Trump don't want to deal with none of that stuff. So he'll just talk about do-nothing Democrats. He doesn't want to deal with the fact that Moscow Mitch McConnell is blocking these bills in the Senate. because Moscow Mitch McConnell is pushing through Trump's nominations for federal judgeship. So they've got so as of December 2019, first 3 years of Trump's administration, they got 187 judges, federal judges confirmed. Okay, 187 federal judges confirmed. After Moscow Mitch McConnell blocked the federal judge nominations and U.S. Supreme Court nomination from President Barack Obama. Okay, and we know that at the beginning of the at the beginning of the impeachment trial, or right before it started, Mitch McConnell was interviewed by Sean Hannity and said he was working in lockstep with the White House and the same view, the same position the White House had on the impeachment trial we have. See, the framers of the Constitution never thought that you would have senators and the Senate Majority Leader who was in cahoots with the president. They thought they would do their job and hold the president accountable. They didn't know they were going to be this corrupt. So you can't, on the one hand, defy Congress, refuse subpoena requests for documents, 71 subpoena requests for documents. Trump refused. The White House refused. You can't block witnesses like Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and former White House counsel Don McGahn. Okay, you can't block John Bolton. Okay, you can't block witnesses from testifying, then try to intimidate witnesses who are testifying in the House hearings with your tweets. You can't defy subpoenas for documents and then say you are vindicated or exonerated. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You just proved Article 2. You just proved Article 2 that was obstruction of Congress. All right, so let's continue here. So Senator Mitt Romney, who was the only Republican to show some courage, to show some morals, Senator Mitt Romney announced his vote in a dramatic speech on the Senate floor 2 hours before the vote took place. He said, quote, "I swore an oath before God to exercise impartial justice. I am profoundly religious. My faith is at the heart of who I am." He went on to say what Trump did was, quote, grievously wrong, end quote. Quote, "The president is guilty of an appalling abuse of public trust," end quote. And when you study the Constitution, the biggest, when they talk about high crimes and misdemeanors, it's not talking about crimes based upon federal statutes, the current federal statute, even though bribery is 18 U.S.C. section 201. That is a federal crime. But when they talk about high crimes and misdemeanors, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanor, high crimes dealt with abuse of power. And it was coming from British common law. It was coming from British parliamentary. Okay? That's what that was coming from. Because even though the U.S. separated from Great Britain because of the American Revolutionary War, 1775 to 1783, and they had the Constitutional Convention in 1787, and they do not want to have a monarchy. They want three equal branches of government, okay? Judicial, executive, and legislative. They're still taking elements from the British form of government. That's where impeachment comes from. That was a process that was used for hundreds of years to remove British officials from office. That's where impeachment comes from. Okay, there was an article, let's see, on my Sunday night show I dealt with this. There was an article, a really good one from the New York Times, that deals with it breaks down the Constitution word by word, dealing with impeachment. Okay, and let me see if I have that here quickly. I'll give you the name of it. If not, because I have like hundreds of articles right here. If not, I will post it at the end. Let me see if I'll pull this up quickly here. But it's a really good article that deals with history and law. Okay, it's called How the Constitution Defines. There were two of them that I saw. Two of them that I used. How the Constitution Defines Impeachable, word by word. How the Constitution Defines Impeachable, word by word. If we look quickly here, and just so everybody understands this, right? If we look at high crimes and misdemeanors, okay? Scholars agree that high, H-I-G-H, refers to something done by a person in public office. In 1788, as supporters of the Constitution were urging states to ratify the document, Alexander Hamilton described impeachable crimes in one of the Federalist Papers as, quote, those offenses which proceed from the misconduct of public men, or in other words, from the abuse or violation of some public trust. They are of a nature which may, with peculiar propriety, be denominated political, as they relate chiefly to injuries done immediately to the society itself. Okay, this dealt with abuse or violation of some public trust. This is what they refer to when they talk about high crimes. All right. Now, if we look at crimes, there is a broad agreement that an offense does not need to violate a criminal statute to be impeachable. Okay. In his handbook on impeachment, the late constitutional scholar Charles L. Black Jr. wrote that, quote, the limitation of impeachable offenses to those offenses made generally criminal by statute is unwarranted, even absurd, end quote. Tell that to that dumbass Alan Dershowitz. Because federal criminal statute did not exist in 1787 and 1788. If we look at misdemeanors, what does it mean? Treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Misdemeanors, determined the way they're using it, is not referring to a minor crime, but it's referring to offenses. A lot of things that we consider minor crimes didn't exist in 1787. High misdemeanors historically referred to offenses that subverted the system of government. According to a 1974 memo produced by the House Judiciary Committee as it weighed impeaching Richard Nixon, when they look at the term altogether, high crimes and misdemeanors, the framers of the Constitution wanted to leave Congress options, but not too many options. The framers debated how to describe impeachable offenses other than treason and bribery. The word maladministration, quote unquote maladministration, was suggested, but James Madison argued that it would give Congress too much leeway. Okay? Charles L. Black wrote, quote, whatever may be the grounds for impeachment and removal, dislike of a president's policy is definitely not one of them. The framers, the article goes on to say, the framers opted for high crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors, a phrase that had been used for hundreds of years during impeachment proceedings in the English Parliament, because this is where the concept of impeachment comes from. British Parliament. According to the 1974 House Judiciary Committee memo, the offenses could take several forms, including misapplication of funds, abuse of official power, neglect of duty, encroachment on Parliament's prerogatives, corruption, and betrayal of trust. Okay, you can read this in its entirety. We'll post a link here. How the Constitution Defines Impeachable, word by word. All right, let's continue. This is an example of how elections have consequences. I saw this coming in 2016. If you listen to my show then, I was doing nationally syndicated radio 5 days a week, the Michael M. Hotep Show, and I was doing radio here in Detroit 2 days a week. If you go to AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com on the homepage, click on Listen to Podcast. You can go back and listen to my audio podcast. Going back to 2016, and I'm warning you then about Trump. All right, how you doing, Elliot, Kim, Tony? This is an example of how elections have consequences. I'm telling you, and we just saw the expansion of the immigration ban targeting African nations like Nigeria and Eritrea. All right, and then if this fool, I'm telling you right now, if this fool gets reelected to a second term, you haven't seen anything, because the only thing that's keeping him from being totally unhinged is he doesn't want to scare people because he's running for a second term. Okay, that's the only thing keeping him from being totally unhinged. If this fool gets in office for a second term, I mean, you can't say I ain't warning you. All right, let's go back to the article from NBCNews.com. All right, everybody, share this broadcast on your Facebook page also. All right, so Mitt Romney went on to say what he did was not perfect, because Trump still maintains it's a perfect call. Trump still maintains that he did not do anything wrong, okay? So for all these Republican senators who say Trump learned his lesson, tell me the lesson that he learned. What he did was not perfect. No, it was a flagrant assault on our electoral rights, our national security interests, and our fundamental values. Corrupting an election to keep oneself in office is perhaps the most abusive and destructive violation of one's oath of office that I can imagine, end quote, said Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, Republican. Senator Mitt Romney is a frequent target of Donald Trump, and was only one of two GOP senators to call for witness testimony in the trial. The other one was Susan Collins, but she was too cowardly to vote to convict Trump. Mitt Romney said, in the last several weeks, I have received numerous calls and texts. Many demand that, in their words, I stand with the team. I stand with the team. I can assure you that thought has been very much on my mind. I support a great deal of what the president has done. I have voted with him 80% of the time. But my promise before God to apply impartial justice required that I put my personal feelings and biases aside. Were I to ignore the evidence that has been presented and disregard what I believe my oath and the Constitution demands of me for the sake of a partisan end, it would, I fear, expose my character to history's rebuke and the censure of my own conscience, end quote. So today, even to this day, Benedict Arnold's name is synonymous with being a traitor, okay? And the question, the question we should ask ourselves is, how is history going to judge all these traitors who violated their oath to defend the Constitution against enemies both foreign and domestic? But also, at the beginning of the Senate trial, they took an oath to be an impartial witness. Okay? They violated their oath. We know Senator Moscow Mitch McConnell violated his oath because he already said he was working in lockstep with the White House. He said the president is not going to be acquitted. He was working to make sure the president wasn't acquitted. I mean, he said the president was not going to be found guilty, not be removed from office. He's working hard for that. We know Senator Lindsey Graham already made up his mind. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who's up for re-election, November 3rd, 2020, needs to be voted out of office. Jamie Harrison, I think is his name, is his opponent. Jamie Harrison has raised $3.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2019. Okay? So Senator Lindsey Graham is in for a real fight for re-election. Senator Lindsey Graham violated his oath. History.com has an article, Benedict Arnold, American Traitor. Benedict Arnold, American Traitor. Born January 14, 1741. And to this day, Benedict Arnold's name is associated with being a traitor. The Republicans that voted to acquit Trump, their name should be associated with Benedict Arnold's as well. So check out this article here from history.com. Okay, let's continue. So Senator Mitt Romney went on to say, Romney said he was aware that there were not enough votes to convict Donald Trump and that he would be vehemently denounced by some fellow Republicans for his vote. He called it, quote, the most difficult decision, end quote, of his life. He said, I am sure to hear abuse from the president and his supporters. Does anyone seriously believe I would consent to these consequences other than from an inescapable conviction that my oath before God demanded it of me, end quote. So he's not up for Romney's not up for re-election till 2024, okay? Backlash from Mitt Romney's party was quick, with Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel Romney, who is his niece, she tweeted, this is not the first time I've disagreed with Mitt, and I imagine it will not be the last. I, along with the GOP, stand with President Trump. That's his niece, who is the National Committee Chair, who is the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee. Okay, check out the rest of this article here from NBCNews.com. We also know that Alabama Senator Doug Jones, who's a moderate Democrat, voted to impeach Trump as well. So he did the right thing. And Alabama is a state that Trump won. I think Trump won Alabama by like 30 points. So it's believed that the House of Representatives will continue to follow the paper trail and investigate Trump, which they should. They could possibly subpoena John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, because John Bolton's book, excerpts of his book, were leaked to the New York Times. And it showed John Bolton confirmed a quid pro quo. You heard me talk about this on my Sunday night show. Trump told Bolton to help his Ukraine pressure campaign, book says, January 31st, 2020, from New York Times, January 26, 2020, updated January 27, 2020, Trump tied Ukraine aid to inquiries he sought, Bolton book says. Donald Trump told his national security advisor in August 2019, John Bolton, that he wanted to continue freezing $391 million in security assistance to Ukraine until officials there help with investigations into Democrats, including the Bidens, Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, according to an unpublished manuscript by the former advisor John R. Bolton. Donald Trump's statement, as described by John Bolton, could undercut a key element of his impeachment defense, that the holdup in aid was separate from Donald Trump's request that Ukraine announce investigations into his perceived enemies. But we know Republicans were too cowardly to even call to hear that witness. And John Bolton said he wanted to testify. So this was the first out of 15 impeachment trials. And this is the out of 15 impeachment trials in the history of this country. Two previous ones dealing with presidents, and basically all the other ones were of federal judges. This is the first one with no witnesses. There was one of a federal judge that included 26 witnesses. Here with a president, no witnesses. Let's just highlight quickly a couple of other articles. Huffington Post has a really good one that from February 5th, 2020. Senators still claim Trump has learned lesson from Ukraine scandal. Senators still claim Trump has learned lesson from Ukraine scandal. However, the president continues to maintain he did nothing wrong. Okay? So this is putting them more in a predicament. When you say he learned his lesson and he keeps saying I ain't doing anything wrong, which means he's going to do it again. Okay? We'll go to that in just a minute. Very quickly, African American business owners, post the name of your business here on the thread of the broadcast. Email us at customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We'll let you know how you can advertise with the African History Network on our on the audio podcast of our shows, and also we promote you in various Facebook Live and YouTube videos as well. 2020 is here. A lot of people want to get their financial house in order, and certified financial planner Marticia Patterson can help you with that. Now, she has over 20 years of experience in the wealth management industry. She is a certified financial planner, and she can help you apply proven tools, techniques, and strategies so you can meet your financial goals. Are you looking at buying a house? Are you looking at getting your finances in order? Are you looking for a financial planner? Do you want to build wealth? She can help you with that. Contact her today for a free consultation. Give her a call, area code 646-552-4384, 646-552-4384, or visit her website, PattersonPlans17.com, PattersonPlans17.com. Let her know you found out about this from the African History Network. Okay, so a lot of people are trying to get in shape, and SheRanHerselfFit.com can help you with that. Now, SheRanHerselfFit, their mission is to inspire and motivate women to make healthy lifestyle changes. SheRanHerselfFit is a brand that promotes women living a healthy lifestyle by making many by making small sacrifices in our daily routine and changing our diet. We can combat many of the different diseases that are prevailing in the African American community. The owner of SheRanHerselfFit, her name is Felicia, lost over 200 pounds by changing her diet and running. And at her website, SheRanHerselfFit.com, you see before and after pictures. They look like two different people. Okay? Running may not be your motivation, but find what drives you to be fit. SheRanHerselfFit apparel can be purchased at her website, SheRanHerselfFit.com. All right, let's continue here. Okay, so let's go to let's look at this article from HuffingtonPost.com, and Huffington Post also had had some good ones that I shared on my show, dealing with how Republicans were twisting in the wind. Actually, they have a really really good one entitled "Republicans Now Say It Doesn't Matter If There Was a Quid Pro Quo with Ukraine." Republicans now say it doesn't matter if there was a quid pro quo with Ukraine. This is from January 29th, 2020. For months, they adamantly denied that Trump withheld aid to Ukraine in exchange for an announcement of investigations into Joe Biden. Republicans now maintain Donald Trump was completely justified in engaging in a quid pro quo with Ukraine after an extended period of time adamantly denying that it ever happened in the first place. So first they say there was no quid pro quo. Now they're saying it doesn't matter if there was a quid pro quo. In 2019, after the White House released a summary of Trump's infamous July 25, 2019 conversation with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, Republicans insisted that they saw no evidence of a direct link between security assistance to Ukraine and the opening of investigations into former Vice President Joe Biden, a potential Trump opponent in the 2020 election. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, told Axios.com in October 2019, quote, "If you could show me that Trump actually was engaging in a quid pro quo outside the phone call, that would be very disturbing," end quote. This is little spineless Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican from North Dakota, said, "It clearly is not a quid pro quo." He said this in November 2019 after several top U.S. diplomats testified before the House of Representatives that the Trump administration did, in fact, withhold aid to Ukraine in exchange for an investigation into a political opponent. But Republicans changed their story on the matter about a week ago after the New York Times revealed the existence of a book manuscript from former National Security Advisor John Bolton. The book, which is due to be released March 17, 2020, alleges that Trump told Bolton directly that the aid to Ukraine was tied to the Ukrainian government opening investigations into Joe Biden and his son. The revelation from a firsthand witness threatened to derail Republicans' desire for a quick acquittal of Trump in the Senate impeachment trial. And they voted not to hear from that witness. He was a direct witness. He was there in the room. He was involved. He knew exactly what was going on. They didn't want to hear it. So if we look at this article here from Huffington Post, senators still claim Trump has learned lesson from Ukraine scandal. Some Republican senators voting to acquit Donald Trump, the first Russian president of the United States, on abuse of power and obstruction of Congress charges. And let me post this other link here for you. Abuse of power and obstruction of Congress charges, Wednesday said they think Trump learned his lesson, even if the president hasn't actually said so. So Trump hasn't said he's learned his lesson. Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican from Tennessee, who is retiring at the end of the year and should have voted to do the right thing, but he's too much of a coward to do this. He said, I would hope that the president would look at this whole proceeding and realize that it's not appropriate to make a call to the president of another country and ask him to investigate your leading political opponent. He said, I would hope that the president would look at this whole proceeding and realize that it's not appropriate to make a call to the president of another country and ask him to investigate your leading political opponent. He went on to say, we all learn lessons as we go through life. Presidents make mistakes, senators make mistakes, and hopefully we learn from these things. Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, needs to be voted out of office also, and Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine. And Susan Collins, when you listen to her, she always sounds like she's about to cry, number one. And two, she's always disturbed by something but doesn't do anything about it. They also said they thought the president had learned his lesson. There's no evidence of that. Donald Trump, for his part, has maintained all along that he did nothing wrong and that his July phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was actually perfect. Now, on the call, he asked Zelensky to investigate a Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden and request that led Democrats to launch their impeachment inquiry after a whistleblower filed a formal complaint. Several Republican senators, including Senator Lamar Alexander, Senator Joni Ernst, and Senator Susan Collins have acknowledged that the president withheld military assistance from Ukraine in order to pressure Zelensky into announcing the investigation. They said while the president's shakedown was inappropriate, it did not merit removal from office. Well, what would? But after these Republicans went out on a limb to say that Donald Trump would change, he started sawing off the branch. Quote, it was a perfect call, end quote, Trump reportedly said at an off-the-record lunch with news anchors on Tuesday, February 4th. Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican from Tennessee, said, all I can express is my point of view, and he is free to express his. Senator James Lankford, Republican from Oklahoma, and Senator John Boozman, Republican from Arkansas, said that if Donald Trump still maintains that the call was perfect, then that answers the question of whether he's learned a lesson. Senator John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, said, I think he's a pretty smart guy. What the hell makes you think that? Quote, I don't think this was a pleasant experience for him, and if it were me, I would try to learn from it. I'm sure he will too, end quote. The only thing he's learned is that you all are too cowardly to hold him accountable, so he's learned he can do it again. Senator John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, went on to say, but at some point you don't change people. After they're 70-something years old, it's hard to do. there was a reason why originally U.S. senators were appointed by the state legislature and not elected by the people. Lastly, I posted two articles on my personal page. Two of them, dealing with Susan Collins. Susan Collins, Trump was wrong, but he learned a big lesson. And then there was one from YahooNews.com where it says Susan Collins regrets saying she believed Trump has learned a lesson. These are some of the dumbest ass senators, man, I've ever seen. Oh my God. YahooNews.com. Okay, let's let that load up. Susan Collins said Tuesday that she would vote to acquit Donald Trump and that he had learned a lesson from the Ukraine scandal and his impeachment. However, that does not appear to be the case. When Trump was asked to comment on Susan Collins' assertion, he once again declared he had done nothing wrong. He said it was a perfect call, end quote. He said of his conversation with from July 25th with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. On Wednesday, on Wednesday, February 4th, 2020, Senator Susan Collins told a reporter from the Maine outlet, WGME-TV, that she used the wrong verb when discussing the potential impact of impeachment on Donald Trump. A better word, she decided, would have been hopes. I guess she hopes he learned something. The reflection did not impress very many people. Greg Largequist, who is a reporter for WGME TV for Maine, he tweeted, just spoke with Senator Collins. She now says she probably should not have said that she believes President Trump has learned his lesson from the fallout from his dealings with Ukraine and impeachment. She now says a better word would have been hopes. Jennifer Rubin, who is a opinion columnist for the Washington Post and a Republican, responded to this tweet from Greg Largequist and replied, weak, 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 W-E-A-K. David Korn, who writes for Mother Jones, he tweeted, this woman helps make the laws of this nation. Give me a break. She doesn't know which verb to use. Okay, you can read the rest of this. These are people who confirm federal judges, which is a lifetime appointment. They confirm Supreme Court judges. They confirm the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, Secretary of Education. They vote on bills. They'll vote on health care. They'll vote on criminal justice reform. People don't understand how important the U.S. Senate is. Let me see. Was that the last one? Okay, I think it was. Okay, let's look at some more of your comments before we get out of here. Let's post this. Senators say Trump has learned his lesson. Let's look at this. Okay. Okay, we got Tony, Dat Woodley, Vi Mines. Yeah, he's not gonna stop. It's like Britney Spears had the song, Oops, I Did It Again. He's gonna do it again. He's not gonna stop. You remember Steve Urkel, Did I Do That? Yeah, you did it. All right, so everybody, listen to my Sunday night show, the African History Network show, 9, 10 a.m. Superstation WFDF, and we broadcast on our Facebook fan page, the African History Network. If you want me to do a presentation for your group or organization, email me at customerservice@africanhistorynetwork.com, customerservice@africanhistorynetwork.com. If you want me to do a presentation for your group or organization, I will be speaking at, also I'm doing a presentation in Detroit at Nandy's Knowledge Cafe, Saturday, February 8th, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, February 8th, 2020, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Nandy's Knowledge Cafe is located at 71 Oakman Avenue in Highland Park, Michigan. 71 Oakman Avenue in Highland Park, Michigan. We'll have the information at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. On a YouTube channel, there's a YouTube video of me talking about it. So we'll deal with, this is my African American History Month presentation. So we'll deal with Black Migration 1619 to 2019. And we'll also deal with this year's theme for African American History Month, which is African Americans and the Vote. African Americans and the Vote. And then we'll deal with some of the history of African American History Month as well, and Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Okay, so that's Saturday, February 8th, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Free event, donations accepted. 71 Oakman Avenue in Highland Park, Michigan. And I have my DVD lectures there as well. So visit AfricanHistoryNetwork.com for more information. We'll post information on our fan page as well, the African History Network. Sunday, February 16th. I am speaking at St. Francis Missionary Baptist Church in Detroit, Sunday, February 16th, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, February 16th, 2020. They are located at 7021 West Warren Avenue in Detroit, 7021 West Warren Avenue in Detroit. This is a free event, free and open to the public. This is their African American History Month program, so I'm the keynote speaker. Let's come out to that as well, and I'll let you know, I'm speaking in other places as well, so we'll get that, we'll post it on our website, and they have to send me the flyers for it as well, okay? So if you want me to do a presentation for your group or organization, email me, customerservice@africanhistorynetwork.com. You can also call us 313-462-0003, 313-462-0003. Okay, Toya, how you doing, Toya? We have our 15 DVD bundle pack, Black History Month bundle pack, that's available right now, and it's actually 16 DVDs. I threw an extra one in. It's on sale. It's a $250 value. It's on sale about $100. It's $100. And I deal with different aspects of history, so you get, and the 16th one that I added in is called Breaking the Chains, Why We Celebrate African American History Month. And it deals with the origins of the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, co-founded by Dr. Carter G. Woodson, September 9th, 1915. So this is a great bundle. This will keep you busy for African American History Month. We have those shipping out this week. So we just posted the link here, and it's on the homepage of our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We also have the Hidden Colors documentaries back in stock, as well as 1804. All right, look, we have to get out of here. Hey, remember, the African History Network, we focus on educating, empowering, and inspiring people of African descent throughout the diaspora and around the world, because right now it's correct wrong behavior. It's not over till we win. Wakanda forever. And we'll talk to you next time. Peace.